Welcome back to the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show. When we have pests in the garden, in our homes, we want to get rid of them right away. But it's even better if we can prevent the problem before it even exists. And with carpenter bees, Rescue has the product that can prevent them from doing damage before they do the damage.
Yeah, so carpenter bees bore holes and tunnels into wood to lay eggs and care for larvae. The holes and tunnels in the wood invite mold and rot into homes, decks, fences, and other wood structures. So spring is the best time to catch the carpenter bees before they mate. So Trapstick, you can put that, use it throughout the summer and early fall to also control the carpenter bees. Rescue makes a carpenter bee Trapstick that is simple to use and pesticide free. You just simply hang the Trapstick from the wooden structures you want to protect. You can go to carpenterbeecontrol.com to watch a video about carpenter bees and how to prevent them with the Trapstick from Rescue. Like all Rescue products are made in the USA, so you gotta go to carpenterbeecontrol.com or go to Rescue.
Holly, let's go to the hotline and bring in our guest for this week.
Gary Pilarczyk is a longtime vegetable gardener, YouTuber, blogger, and author. He enjoys teaching others how to grow vegetables with helpful and straight-to-the-point information. His book, The Modern Homestead Gardener, Garden Growing Self-Sufficiency in Any Size Backyard, is the name of his book. Welcome to the program, Gary.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Well, we are happy that you've taken time out of your busy day to not only enlighten Holly and myself, but all of our listeners. And we'll just get right into it. You like growing all types of vegetables, but especially tomatoes for sure. What are some of your favorite tomato growing tips?
Well, over the years, I changed some of these. Probably aren't the two most exciting tips, but regardless of what you like to put in the ground, organic fertilizers or, you know, things to help them grow, I found that consistent moisture is the key to growing healthy, large, kind of vigorous tomatoes. And when I say that, it's not just kind of giving the deep root watering. A lot of people don't realize that tomatoes send out masses of surface roots. And if you're not watering regularly, those surface roots suffer and the plant suffers. It just doesn't get as big as it should be. So what I really recommend is watering more than you think, watering even if it rains, and keep that top 4 to 6 inches of the soil moist, and mulch on top of that. Just keep the water in there. It really, really makes a difference over the summer.
Okay, great. That's a really helpful tip. It makes a lot of sense.
Now, would you recommend an irrigation system or manual or a little bit of both?
A little bit of both. If your garden gets kind of big, it can be a little bit hard sometimes to do a whole irrigation system for various reasons. I live on the East Coast, so we do get a lot of rain. You know, if I was on the West Coast, I definitely want an irrigation system. You know, optimally, if you can get a kind of regular drip going with a drip system, that would be perfect, but not everybody can do that.
I agree. Now, many people don't realize you can use vinegar as a weed killer. Can you tell us how to use it the best and where to use it in your garden or yard for weeds, or essentially where not to use it, where it might be harmful or not good for your plants?
Yeah, so vinegar is a great organic solution. And what it does is, because it's an acid, it will, you know, kill the leaves. Just because the higher pH or the lower pH, the higher acidity will damage the plants. So there's, you know, there's the store-bought vinegar, the white vinegar that you buy. It's 3% at your regular grocery store. That's a little bit too weak. So you really have to buy 30% white vinegar. And you can get that online, or you can get it at your big box stores. And you want to dilute that by a half a gallon. So you get a gallon jug of the 30% white vinegar, and then add a half a gallon to a gallon. You're trying to bring that down to a 20% solution. It doesn't have to be exact. Anyway, that higher acidity will take care of most of your weeds in your garden. Now, the thing is, it's not like, you know, the chemicals that it gets into the roots, it kills all the whole plant. You can really use this anywhere that you want, and just soak the leaves well, and it will kill them back. The acidity can get into the soil, make the pH, the wrong pH, and then it will kill the root system too. Some other tricks you can do to that when you're making your gallon and a half solution is you can add in a lot of soap, like a half a cup of soap, any kind, dish detergent or anything like that. That helps the vinegar stick to the to the weeds or to the problem plants, also puts the soap into the soil, and that can, you know, kill them much more quickly. You will probably have to do this twice because it's, you know, not a root killer, it's a surface killer. But it's really, really effective. I use it to control clover all over the edges of my property. I'll spot spray in my garden. You don't want to contact the leaves of your crops because it will burn that. But it's effective, and it does the trick.
Well, and it's much more of a peace of mind as well, knowing that you're not spraying some chemical that is potentially going to get into the food that you're eating as well.
Right. If it drifts in or damages the crops or you ingest it or anything like that. And the other thing, too, is because it's vinegar, you can spray it like around your raised beds. And, you know, if you're really soaking it, people might be concerned, well, I'm putting too much acidity into the soil. Well, a couple of days later, after spot treating and killing off the weeds, you can just throw, you know, a handful of garden lime right where you were spraying, and the lime will neutralize the vinegar. So you're not even really damaging the soil permanently or anything like that with the higher acidity.
Do you know if it works on Creeping Charlie?
Now, is Creeping Charlie, is that like crabgrass? I get that question a lot.
It's kind of similar to clover, but it's part of the mint family. And it's really, it has the, when the roots grow, it's like a web of roots underneath the soil. So you may, so you may pull up some, but there's still a whole undergrowth.
So it probably is not as effective to get into the roots just as vinegar. But you can also read, like, you can do the white vinegar, the 30% diluted down. You can add in soap. But then you can also, sometimes you'll read online that you can put salt into there. People put in a cup of salt. And I don't recommend that, because when you put in sodium chloride or table salt, you spray your soil, you're not going to be able to grow anything there. But you can substitute that with Epsom salt, because that's magnesium and sulfur. And over time, the rainwater and stuff will kind of wash that out, and you'll be left with magnesium sulfur. Anyway, that greater concentration of the magnesium sulfate, the Epsom salt, can get to the roots of something like that and kill it off. But it's a difficult weed. People ask me about crabgrass and wiregrass. This is more killing the surface growth and maybe the top half inch of the root system. But if it's a really kind of vigorous root system, it's hard to treat this way.
That's very helpful. Now, your book is The Modern Homestead Garden, Growing Self-Sufficiency in Any Size Backyard. Mm-hmm. Can you give us a unique tip from it, or why our listeners should check it out?
So I think overall, I wrote the book as trying to help the new gardener or relatively new gardeners take on a different perspective, in that you that you don't need a book to tell you what to do. Exactly. So what I try and do is encourage people, you know, based on science and the needs of the plants, but encourage people to really keep a journal, get their hands dirty, plant. You know, you can plant a pepper 1 foot apart, 2 feet apart. You can put two in the same planting hole. So I give people a lot of options of how they can plant and grow different vegetables in different ways, with none of them, you know, being exactly right, because there's 1,000 ways to have a garden. And what I hope is the gardener, as the reader reads this, they become more confident in going out and not feeling like you have to rely on something to tell them exactly what to do, how much fertilizer, distance of seeding, distance of transplants, and all that. So as a person reads through it, they learn a lot of technical information, but I hope to kind of bestow upon them the confidence to just go out and grow.
That's great. So we are talking with Gary Pilarczyk. He's a longtime vegetable gardener, author, and his book is The Modern Homestead Garden, Growing Self-Sufficiency in Any Size. Now, many people use neem oil for many uses in their garden, for pest control often. What are your favorite ways to use neem oil? And not all neem oil is the same. How do you choose what is the true neem oil?
Sure. Well, let's go with buying the right neem oil. So when you're buying neem oil, you want to buy cold-pressed neem oil. That's all the components, all the natural components are in there. Nothing is taken out, and it's called 100% cold-pressed neem oil, and you can buy that in different places. That has the components, and one of the components is called azadirachtin, which is a compound that when you spray it onto your vegetables, this is also organic, but when you spray it onto your vegetables like your kales, cabbage leaves and stuff like that, it coats the leaf. And when you get the green cabbage worm or chewing caterpillars come, they chew that, that compound, the azadirachtin, will kill off the chewing caterpillars in 2 or 3 days. And that's how it's most effective. For any kind of worm that chews your leaves, regular spraying every 7 to 14 days with the neem oil really, really controls them. Like a lot of people, you see that white butterfly fly around. It lays the eggs of the green cabbage worm or cabbage looper. And neem oil is a great way to control that. But you want to make sure you buy the 100% cold press, because when you go into the big box stores, you'll see it stuff that says neem oil. And if you read on the label, it's usually in the bottom left corner of the bottle, it'll say hydrophobic extract of neem. And what that is all the good stuff is pulled out, and you really just have a purified version of neem oil, which doesn't control the chewing insects. It's, in my opinion, no better than using olive oil or any kind of oil. And when you read it, it's confusing to the buyer, to the gardener, because it says it will work on, you know, as a miticide or basically smother soft-bodied insects. But any oil does that. So you want the 100% cold-pressed neem oil to really control those chewing worms.
Well, you're a modern homesteader. Many people think that homesteading, you have to have a lot of land, root cellar, canning, you grow everything you eat. But that's not always the case now. What is modern homesteading?
Modern homesteading is really a starting point. It's for somebody who wants to learn the skills or add more to being self-sufficient. You know, in modern life, we have to pay the bills. We need health insurance, all that kind of stuff. So you do often have to juggle raising your kids, having a job. So the modern homestead is more of learning the skills at your own pace with whatever size backyard you have, but also a perspective where you begin to rely less on the grocery store. And maybe you just start with herbs on the window, learn that, and then you move to a balcony, and then you're able to get more land, and you just kind of grow from there. But it's really taking your home and whatever space you have and using what you have available to help just be more self-sufficient within your food supply. So you don't have to go to the grocery store every time. Maybe you cut back on the grocery store visit 10% or 20%, but you can grow. So you don't have to kind of throw everything away, get that 10 acres, move off grid, do homeschooling and do all that stuff. That's just too overwhelming. It's just a good way to start and then see where life takes you in 5 years or 10 years.
Yeah, I definitely agree. You have to start somewhere and start within what you can. So how can people find out more about you and your information in your book?
So you can really search The Rusted Garden. It's R-U-S-T-E-D. Sometimes people think I say rustic, but The Rusted Garden will bring up my YouTube channel, all my social media. And then you can find the book usually under that too. Or just search my name, Gary Polarczyk, and you'll just see all the stuff I love doing with vegetable gardening, really. I've been doing this for maybe 15 years now with social media.
Well, Gary, we greatly appreciate the time and the knowledge you've not only shared with Holly and myself, but all of our listeners across the country.
Thank you.
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.